We're in the second half of Likutei Moran, chapter 9. Rabbeinu Zal bases this Torah on the pasuk in Yechezkel, where the pasuk says, "El asher yihyeh shomo haruach loleches yelechu." Wherever the ruach would go, they would go. This is referring to angels over there in the vision of Yechezkel, angels of the Merkava, of the throne of Hashem, that followed a certain ruach. These angels go up and down. So now, Rabbeinu Zal quotes the Tikkuni Zohar, Issa b'Tikkuni Zohar, Kulhu arkin deliba mesnahagin bosarucha. All of the pipes of the heart, the arteries that come into the heart and go out of the heart, all of them follow the ruach. Ruach means spirit, ruach means wind, ruach means air. Hadohu dechsiv, and the Zohar Kodesh says, this is what the pasuk says, El asher yihyeh haruach loleches, wherever the ruach goes, that's where it goes. Dahainu, haruach hayoytse mikanfe horeya. This is referring to the air that comes out of the lobes of the lungs. Kil mole kanfe reya denashven aliba, havaliba oikid kol gufa. Because were it not for these lobes of the lungs that fan the heart would burn up the entire body. We know that the heart is beating all the time, it's moving, and we know that movement generates friction, heat. So the heart, like any engine, requires a fan to cool it, to maintain a certain healthy temperature. And that's the lungs. Rabbeinu Zal speaks about this in several chapters in Likutei Moran. Kal yidei haruach mechaben haner umadlikin haner. Kanira b'chush. Rabbeinu Zal says, we know that ruach, wind, can either extinguish a candle or it can help revive a candle that's about to go out, as we see in actual life. Shelefomim nich b'haner al yidei haruach hamenashev. There are times that the candle goes out, it's extinguished by a wind that blew it out. And sometimes when a candle is about to go out, by blowing on it, we fan it and we cause the fire to go up. We have this especially when a person is making a barbecue or something like that and the fire is dying down. Sometimes when we fan the fire, that causes it to awaken again, reawaken. Now Rabbeinu Zal explains, Ki kibui haner, hual yidei shenoifel al haner afrurius. One of the things that sometimes causes a candle to become extinguished is ash or dust that comes onto the fire, v'nifrodin chelkei ho'esh, and as a result of this, the components of the fire get separated. Sheyesh boi miyisoid ho'esh, those components which come from the basic element of fire, ve'enam yecholim livor, and the fire can't burn. V'alkein, and therefore, kishemenafchen boi, when we blow on this flame, azai ho'ruach menapeach menaner ho'afrurius, then the wind blows off, removes the dust that was clogging that fire. And as a result of the fact that we remove that dust, the particles of the fire come back together, join back together, and the fire burns properly. And there are times when we extinguish a flame through wind, whereby the wind separates the fire from the candle and causes it to go out. How does this relate to us? Rabbeinu Zal in several places in Likutei Moran gives examples from things related to nature or the sciences and to show exactly how it pertains to us. In chapter 70, in the first half of Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal explains gravity, the concept of gravity, and shows how this pertains to our serving Hashem. We know that everything in the world was created to help us be able to understand how to serve Hashem better. Rabbeinu Zal tells us in chapter 1 in Likutei Moran that one of our missions in life in the world is to look at everything, to look for the seichel in everything, to look for the divine wisdom in everything, and to use that to bring us closer to Hashem. So now Rabbeinu Zal is going to show us based on what we just learned, how this applies to our serving Hashem. Umanhige hadoyer hem bechinas ruach. The leaders of a generation, the tzaddikim, the rabbis, they are referred to as ruach. Kemo shekosuv, as the pasuk says, ish asher ruach boi. That when Moshe Rabbeinu was about to leave the world and he asked for a replacement, Hashem said, appoint Yehoshua, who is ish asher ruach boi, a person who has the divine spirit in him. And Rashi quotes the Gemara over there, sheyodea lahaloich neged ruchoi shel kol echad. He's a person who knows how to deal with the distinct ruach of every individual different Jew. So we see every person has a ruach. The leader, a true leader, is a composite of all of these ruchais, and he knows how to address each and every different ruach. The Yisrael, hem bechinas liba. The Jews are referred to as the heart of the world. Ki Yisrael hem liba dechol alma, as the Zohar HaKadosh says. Utzrichin manhige hador lenashev bebechinas rucham al kol echot miYisrael. The leading tzaddikim of the generation have to use their ruach to blow on each and every Jew, shehem libo di alma, who are the heart of the world, lenapeach mehem ho afrurius, to remove the dust, dehainu morashchoira shenoifal aleihem. This refers to the depression, the sadness that attacks our heart. We know that the heart is supposed to be the center of joy of the person. The pasuk says in Tehillim, nosato simcha balibi. Hashem says, you have injected happiness into my heart. And at the same time, there's a pasuk in the Torah, when it came to the Mabul, the flood that destroyed the world, it says, Vayisatzev eliboy, that Hashem's heart, kaviyochel, was filled with sadness. So Rabbeinu Zal says here, the leaders of the generation, they have to use their ruach to remove this dust, this depression, this sadness that comes upon us. This dust, this heaviness, does not allow the Jewish heart to burn for Hashem, to feel that passion, that fire for Hashem. This term, hislavus, when a person serves Hashem with passion, with fire, the way it's supposed to be. Gam, in addition also, yesh rishoim shein b'chinas erev rav. There are wicked people who are compared to the erev rav. Those are the wicked people who left Egypt together with the Jews and caused problems throughout the time that we were traveling in the desert. They tried to pull the Jews away from Hashem, away from Moshe Rabbeinu. U'kishehem noiflem al alev. And when they attack the heart, dehainu al Yisrael, the Jewish people, ze gam kein bechinas afrurius. That's also a form of this dust, shalidei ze ein yecholen livor. They cause the heart to be cooled, to become cold, rather than a warmth, a warm passion for Hashem, for Kedusha. We know the Torah tells us about Amalek, who is referred to as the worst of the enemies of the Jewish people, asher korcha baderech, that Amalek attacked us when we left Egypt. It uses the word korcha. Korcha has several meanings. One of the meanings is miloshin kar, krirus. He cooled us off. When we came out of Egypt, we were on fire, a fiery passion for Hashem to get Eretz Yisrael. And Amalek tries to cool down that fire, that holy fire. And this is why the leaders of the generation have to blow away, remove that dust from the heart, dehainu mikol echad miYisrael, from every single Jew, v'choizrin v'nischabrin chelkei o'esh shebechol echad v'echad miYisrael. And once that's removed, the components of fire in each and every single person are able to come back together, v'niskashrin Yisrael biyachad, and the Jewish nation unites, v'nasin bechinas leiv, and we become a true heart of the world. V'chol echot v'echot miYisrael nasa b'chinas leiv la'mokoim shetzorech sheyiv sham b'chinas leiv. And each and every single Jew becomes the heart for that location, for that place where he needs to be the heart. V'choizer u'boyer l'Hashem Yisborach, and goes back to feeling this fiery passion for Hashem. Ach, however, lefa'omim, there are times, kishemenashev ruach sa'ora, when a storm wind blows, when this wind is uncontrolled, azai hu mavir ho'esh mo'id chutz min amida, when a storm wind blows on a fire, it can cause the fire to go out of control. Kemoichen lefa'omim, so too at times, yesh shemenashev ba'odom ruach sa'ora, there are times that there's a storm wind raging inside of a person, umaviroi beyoiser chutz min amida, and causes the person to feel a passion that's out of control. Sheze bechinas harisa. This is called breaking out, in a sense. Bechinas pen yehersu lalois el Hashem. As we find, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to warn the Jews that when Hashem was going to reveal himself on Har Sinai to give us the Torah, Hashem warned Moshe Rabbeinu, make a fence around the mountain and warn the Jews not to dare to try to go beyond that fence, beyond that boundary, to stay back, keep back. Because if they chas v'shalom break through, they'll be destroyed chas v'shalom. Ki b'muflam imcho al tidroish. Because we know there's a pasuk in Navi which the Gemara expounds that a Jew is not allowed to delve into that which is beyond us, that which is out of our reach. V'osur laharois lalois el Hashem masheinoi roi loy lefi b'chinosoi. It's forbidden for a Jew to try to rise up towards Hashem past the level that they are able to attain at that point in time. Al kein, therefore, when a person sees that the passion inside of him is overwhelming, it's destructive, it's out of control, then the person needs to know that that's coming from the other side. That's coming from the Sitra Achra. That's a storm wind, which is a force of destruction. The Yetzirah is called Ruach Sa'ora. Rabbein Azal uses this term in several places in Likud Imran. Chapter 8 in the first half of Likud Imran, where he speaks about a Ruach of Kedusha versus a Ruach Sa'ora. And in another place in Likud Imran, he points out that the word Sa'ora, the middle letters, the inside letters, are Ra, evil. The outer letters are Samach Hei, which is 65, which is Bigimatria Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which represents Malchus. Adon means Malchus. But Sa'ora is Malchus Ra, this evil Malchus, the kingdom of the Sitra Achra, Rachmona Litzlan. We know that when the Torah speaks about our connection to our leaders, to our rabbis, the Torah says, Lo sosur yomin usmoil. Do not deviate to the right or to the left from what they teach you, from the path that they show you. And the Mefarshim explain that this concept of deviating to the right or to the left means don't do less or more than what they tell you. The direction, the path that the tzaddikim give us, the manner that they tell us to serve Hashem, if a person tries to be more religious than them, chas v'shalom, sometimes they think they're going to do better, they can sometimes make things much worse. There's a famous expression, ribui shemen goyrem kibui haner. Too much oil extinguishes the candle. We know that when you have a candle that's being fed with oil, sometimes the flame is small and you want the flame to be a little bigger. You're afraid it's going to go out. So you increase the flow of the oil to the flame. And then you see the flame becomes bigger. And then you could increase it. You could open it a little more and the flame becomes still bigger. And then the person says, wow, this is beautiful. And then they open the throttle, they open it all the way, and then the candle goes out. Or an engine, flooding an engine, a concept of flooding an engine. Now Rabbein Azal says, the Eliyahu, the great tzaddik Eliyahu Hanavi, hayoyochoy lahachni azois. His greatness was that he had the ability to subdue and control this passion. V'ze b'chinas ish asher rochav al suseyesh b'sa'ora. These are words that we recite in the zmirois, in the special songs that we sing on Moitzoy Shabbos, Saturday night, which focus on Eliyahu Hanavi In one of the songs there, these words are mentioned, that Ilya Novi was a person who rode on horses of fire. He went up to heaven riding on top of horses of fire in a storm wind. This is telling us that Ilya Novi rode on top of and subdued and controlled these fiery horses in this storm wind. A fire that sometimes is burning too much, out of control, which is caused by Sa'ara, that storm wind, that power of the Sitrachra of the other side. Elianovi was able to rise above that and subdue it, control it. Because it's extremely important that this ruach, this divine spirit inside of a person, should blow in control. So that the fire that's burning inside the heart of a person, the holy fire, that passion, should be burning in a balanced way, in a way that helps the person, that brings the person close to Hashem, not the opposite. We know there are many people, especially when a person is chozer b'tshuva, when a person starts coming close to Hashem, and the person at the time is given divine assistance, and the person's running, they're able to do tremendous things that they never imagined they could do before. And the person gets excited, wow, Superman, you know, I can fly. But the person needs to know that usually that continues for a certain limited period of time. Hashem gives the person a taste of what they're capable of, but then the person is set back down on the ground, and the person is being told that now you have to start climbing the ladder yourself, step by step, in an orderly fashion, without skipping any steps. Hashem took you all the way to the top of the ladder to give you a preview, an insight of what you could possibly look forward to, something spectacular, a beautiful, deep connection to Hashem. But now it's time for you to go back down and earn it and develop it. And unfortunately, there are many people who, if they're not given the proper guidance, if they're not connected to these manhige ador, to the proper leader of the generation, and the person makes decisions on their own in terms of how high to turn up the fire, people end up chas v'shalom making mistakes and causing destruction, sometimes within family or in all kinds of different ways, where the person tries to overdo certain things or tries to go beyond a level that they're really on. And this could cause tremendous damage. Any questions, please?
A person trying to be on a level that they're not exactly on. I'm 54. When I became Baal Tshuva, I was about 30. Now I feel like I'm in a stage in my life, not on the level I was at 24 years ago. And I feel like I've fallen, but at the same time, I'm so much more at peace and happy.
One of the outstanding prayers that we say, Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha Vinashuva, Hashem, please return us to you and let us come back to you. Chadesh Yomeinu Kekedem, renew our days like long ago. And that prayer is alluding to what we just spoke about and what you're describing. The Baal Shem Tov speaks about this. He calls it the Tchilas HaChasidus. When a person first starts a new beginning of connecting to Hashem, they're on a tremendous high, and Hashem takes the person with both hands and holds the person and leads them in an incredible way. And that's what gives the person the ability to go much quicker and higher than they would normally be able to. Just like the Baal Shem Tov compares it to when we're teaching a child to walk. In order to get the child started, the parents hold both hands of the child and give the child 100% support. And the child stands up and starts moving his feet, and he sees, wow, I can do it, I can do it. And they start walking a little clumsily at first maybe, but they're taking steps. And that goes on for a short period of time, or in order to build up the child's confidence a little bit and to show them that you can do this. Then at one point, the parents have to make a decision to let go of one hand. And then at a later point, to let go of both hands. And in the process, the child falls. But if a person persists and they don't quit, they can get to a level where they can walk by themselves without being held by any hands. And the Baal Shem Tov says that this is our trip in trying to come close to Hashem. We read stories of tzaddikim. We know that it is possible. It is possible for a person to have that fire when they're 60 years old and when they're 80 years old. It takes effort. It takes faith in Hashem, faith in tzaddikim, faith in the Torah, and believing in yourself, knowing I can. The Yetzer Hara, the Torah compares the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is called Melech Zokein Uksil, an old foolish king. And the Yetzer Tov is called Miskein, Miskein V'chacham. Miskein means poor, but very wise. And young, this concept of young, youthfulness. And Rabbi Nachman puts incredible, incredible stress on this, that success in Yiddishkeit, success in life, and especially in Yiddishkeit, means staying young. And it means up here. It doesn't mean if your beard is green or white or... That doesn't define old age. Old age is in the mind and in the heart. This passion, a person knowing that there is such a thing, there is this fire, Ner Elokim Nishmas Adam, the soul of a Jew is a heavenly candle, it's a heavenly fire. A person has to want it a lot, and a person has to be stubborn, relentless, not giving up, not quitting, because it doesn't necessarily happen every day, but a person can turn that back on. This Chadesh Yameinu Kekedem, this renewing, that excitement, that enthusiasm, that concentration that I had when I first started out. This is something very, very special and very important to yearn for and to pray for. Help me restore, help me get that feeling back. I need it for myself to be able to convey to my children and my grandchildren and people around me, my wife, in order to have this fire, this Hislavus Digdusha.
Thank you very much.
Sure. And in terms of prayer, just while on that topic, prayer and in shul, Rabbi Nachman told us that regarding the standard prayers, Shachris, Mincha, Ma'ariv, even Tehillim, because it's not my own words, because I'm reciting words that the Anshei Knesset HaGdol have given us, or Psukim in the Torah, they're very holy, they're very special. But unfortunately, it's usually more difficult for a person to put their heart and soul into it than when you're writing the script yourself, when you're having hispoidus, your own words, when you're making your own prayer. And this is why Rabbeinu Zal puts such incredible emphasis that in order for a Jew to get the real effects of tefillah, a person must complement their Shachris Mincha Ma'ariv with hispoidus, going out to the field, going to the beach, wherever you go, to speak to Hashem in your own words, in your own language, in your own words from your heart. And there, usually, it's easier to express yourself completely. It's easier to come to tears. It's easier to be more enthusiastic, to have more heart in it, because it's your own language and your own words. But there also, it doesn't necessarily happen every day, but when it does happen, one shot of that can pay back for 10 years when a person didn't have it. When Hashem pulls the curtain a little and the person experiences that closeness to Hashem, that connection to Hashem, that real prayer, it pays back for all the times when I didn't feel it, when it wasn't that way. The next chapter in Likutei Moran is also related to this in a way, but now we're actually beginning a series of 7 or 8 chapters which are based on a Gemara. The Gemara says that Rabbi Zeira, one of the famous Amoraim in the Gemara, once met Rabbi Yehuda Hindua when he was standing in the doorway of his father-in-law's home. And he saw that Rabbi Yehuda was in a very good mood. He was really happy. And he said, this is my opportunity. Now I'm going to ask him all of those questions that I wanted to ask him, and I hesitated because they weren't really regular type questions. Now he'll be willing to answer. And we're going to see in the next chapters interesting questions that come up and more interesting answers that are going to be given to clarify them. Torah Yud, Rabbeinu Zal begins, Mashiha oilam rechoike meyashem isborach ve'enam miskarve meylov. This that many people are far from Hashem, far from spirituality, and they don't draw close to Hashem, hurak machmas she'en lohem yishuv hadas, is only because they don't allow themselves the luxury of thinking, really, really thinking carefully and honestly, what am I doing? What is my life? What am I living for? What's the purpose of life? Ve'enom meyashvim atzmon. They're not really thinking properly about what they should be thinking about. What is the purpose of life? What's going to come out of all the restaurants and what's going to come out of all the materialistic pleasures of this world? What's going to come out of all the materialism in this world in general? Where is it all leading to? What's at the end? V'ho'ikar, and therefore, one of the very, very important things for a Jew is lehishtadel leyashev atzmoy heitev, to really, really think carefully. Ma hatachlis mikol hataivos u'mikol inyonei olam hazeh. What is the purpose, and what is it leading to? All of the desires and all the materialism and all the physical things in this world, all the bodily pleasures. Hein taivos hanichnosos laguf. Whether this pertains to the desires, things that a person takes into their body, food, drink, other things like that, hein taivos shechutz laguf, or its desires and pleasures that are external to the body, kegoin, for example, kovoid, fame, honor, v'oz, and if a person will allow themselves this luxury, if a person will set aside time to stop and think, really think, what am I doing? What is this all about? Why is this world here? And what am I doing in this world? Yoshvoz bevadai yoshuv el Hashem. The person will definitely return to Hashem. They'll return to their source, to the source of everything, which is Hashem. Among Breslov Hasidim, very often this term Yishuv Hadas is used to refer to Hispoidedus. Hispoidedus means a person going into a private place, disconnecting from everyone around me and everything around me, spending time alone with Hashem and alone with myself, alone with me, which allows me the ability to really stop, hit that stop button on everything going on, and think, really think, and think a little deeper than usual. Not just think on the surface, think of what's in front of me, but think of what's behind all of this. What's the purpose of all of this? And where is it leading to? The direction that I'm taking, what I'm doing, where is it leading me to? And this Hispoidus, Rabbeinu Zal defined as the most important, the highest level of spiritual connection that a person can possibly make from this world. This is also referred to as Yishuv Hadas. And in Rabbi Nachman's stories, which are considered to be his most powerful, deepest teachings, we find throughout the stories many times before a person takes a step, before they make a decision, Rabbeinu Zal will say, the person had a yishuv hadas. They thought carefully, and then they went ahead and decided what choice to make. Should I do this or should I not do this? Should I do this or should I do that? And this opening statement here, that the fact that the general world is far from Hashem and they don't come close. Rabbeinu Zal is making two statements. It's one thing when a person has a problem. Rabbeinu Zal says there's a problem and they're not doing anything to resolve the problem. Is because of this lack of Yishuv Hadas. And if a person will allow themselves this incredible privilege of spending quality time alone, by myself, whether again in a forest, at a beach, wherever it is, or in my own living room, my own bedroom, when nobody's there, alone with Hashem and alone with myself. And there are two parts to this, usually. There's hisboinenus and there's hispoidedus. Hisboinenus means the thinking aspect. That before I start talking to Hashem, or before I start talking, period, to think a little bit, to think about what's going on in my life. What are the good things in my life? What are the things that I perceive to be not so good? What am I doing? What am I doing right? And what am I maybe doing wrong? And what's really think about what's going on all around me? And then based on that thinking process, open my mouth and open my heart to Hashem, to reach out to the solution to everything, the solution to all problems, which is Hashem, the creator and the operator of the entire world, and of me, and of everything around me. Rabbi Nizal says now, ach, however, da, you must know, sh'al yidei mora shchoyro, yefsher lahanig es hamoyach kiritzoynoi. There is one problem which prevents a person from controlling their mind, focusing their mind to think properly. And that's mora shchoyra. That's depression, sadness. V'alkein kosheloi liyashev daitoi. And if the person can't control their mind, then they can't have this yishuv hadas. They can't really think, settle their mind, and really think in a constructive, healthy, positive way, in a way that'll lead to solutions to their problems. Rak al yidei hasimcha yuchal lahaneg hamoyach kiritzoinoi. It's only by being happy, bringing oneself to be happy and joyous, then that person will be able to control and direct their thinking, their thoughts. Ki simcha hu oilam hacherus. Because simcha, happiness, is freedom. Bibchinas, as the pasuk says in Yeshaya Novi, ki besimcha seitzeyu. With joy, with happiness, you will go, you will exit. You'll exit from what? You'll exit from exile. You'll exit from prison, from any kind, from the prison inside of yourself, from the bars, the things that are clogging you up, that are locking you up, that aren't letting you fly, that aren't letting you grow, that aren't letting you succeed. Ki besimcha seitzeyu. With simcha, a person can get out of anything they need to get out of. Shayidei simcha nasen ben choirin. Through simcha, a person becomes free. They get out of that slavery, that servitude, that imprisonment, the yoitzen min hagolus, and the person gets out of exile. V'alkein, and therefore, kishemekasher simcha lamoyach, when a person attaches joy, happiness to the brain, azai moichoi vedatoi ben choirin, then that person's brain is no longer imprisoned. It's free. They took off the bars. The enoi bebchinas golus. The person is no longer in exile. Vazai yucha lahanege samoyach kirtsoinoi. Then now the person can direct the brain the way it should be directed, the way they really would want to direct it, to think positive, to think cure, healing, to think solutions, not problems. Ule yashev daitoi, to have this settled mind. Because of the fact that the person's mind is free, it's not constricted, it's not locked up. Because when a person is in exile, in that state called exile, golus, they can't think clearly, they can't think positive. As the Gemara points out in Megillah, al bnei amoin umoyov, regarding the people of the nations of Amoin Umoyov, de meyasva datayu, the Gemara says they were able to think clearly and to come up with the right advice, with the right solutions, with the right answers, machmas sheloi holchu begolus, because they were never exiled. They never experienced exile. Shenemar, as the pasuk says clearly, sha'anan moyov meneurov, moyov is calm and at peace from their youth. You know why? The pasuk continues, ubagoila loyholach, because they never went into exile. They were always able to stay in their country, in their city. Al kein omad ta'amoy boy. And therefore, their ability to reason, their ability to think clearly, they retained that ability all the time. The Gemara mentions this in Megillah, when Vashti, the queen, refused to come to the banquet that Ahasuerus built up, this incredible banquet, celebrating his kingdom, celebrating his greatness. When she refused to come, Ahasuerus didn't know what to do. So he called his advisors, and first he asked the Jews, "What do you say?" And they were smart enough to respond, "We can't really answer this because of the fact that we are in exile and we are a wandering people, and because of that our ability to think clearly and to come up with the right solutions is very difficult. Ask Moav and Amon Amoav," because they knew that whatever answer they give, if they tell him to kill his wife, kill Vashti, today he'll be happy with that. Tomorrow he'll scratch his head and say, "What did I do?" And he'll want to kill the Jew, the advisors. And if they tell him not to kill her, his ego will come back the next day and say, "Look at those rotten Jews. Who do I think I'm, a wimp?" So they knew it was a lose-lose situation. Therefore, they came up with this answer. But the Gemara tells us that from this we can learn a very important point. When a person has a settled mind, yishuv hadat meyushuv, they can think clearly. And again, when a person is not in exile, when a person is free, when their mind is in a state of freedom, which means simcha, then they can think clearly. In fact, the Arizal mentions that the word besimcha is the same letters as the word machshava. Machshava means thinking. Healthy, proper machshava is dependent on besimcha, with simcha. If you bring along that happiness, you attach simcha, you'll be able to have machshava toiva, a good, healthy thought. So now, what's the secret? The $64 billion question that the whole world is asking. How is one happy? And how can a person maintain a state of happiness? Rabbeinu Zal says, "V'lovoi l'simcha, hu'alidei shma shemoitzei bi'atzmoi eizen ekuda toiv al kol panem." In order for a person to get to be happy when things aren't going so well, when things look dark and terrible, and not just things are terrible, but I'm terrible. Forget things. I'm terrible. I'm in a bad place now. I've made all kinds of wrong decisions, and I caused this to happen and that to happen, and I've done sins, all kinds of terrible things. Rabbeinu Zal says, you must search and find inside of yourself nekuda toiva, good points. You must be able to find things about yourself that are good, that are still good. No matter how much bad you have, no matter how many mistakes you made, no matter how many sins you've done. Kimavoyer al pasuk azamra lalikai bioidi, as was explained in chapter 282 in the first half of Likut Imran. Ayin Shum, study that chapter. That's a chapter that Rabbi Nachman said, don't leave home without it. A Breslover and every Jew should have that chapter on Likut Imran in their pocket at all times, because that chapter is where Rabbeinu Zal really, really clarifies and explains this piece of advice of how critical it is for us to always be able to search and find that speck of light in the darkness. A person would say, but big deal, speck of, 99% dark, what is that going to do? The answer is, the rule is, ma'at min ha'oir doicha har bechoshech. The ratio of light to darkness, the ratio of good to bad, is not 1 to 1, and it's not even 1,000 to 1. But rather, we have the sky at night. The sky is dark. And you have those stars, those tiny little stars. They're tiny. Those tiny stars can light up the sky. We're able to see what we need to see. The Gemara says, "Im yesh olav malach echad mini elef," that if a person has one angel out of 1,000 angels defending them, meaning that the person committed 999 sinful acts, bad things, and they did one good thing, the pasuk says, "Pidoehu mirede shachas." That's enough to redeem the person from going down into the dumps. That's one opinion. And the other rabbi says, no, you're not reading that properly. What it's referring to is, if in the one good deed that the person did, there were 999 mistakes, there were 999 faults, he did 999 terrible things, sins, and in the one mitzvah that he did, there are 999 things wrong with it and one good thing about it, that's enough. The light that's generated by that one in a thousand is enough to outshine all of that darkness. This is a Gemara, and this is an incredible message to us in terms of how we judge ourselves and how we judge people around us. Right now, especially, right now that we're not just in Golus, we're in the longest Golus that the Jews ever experienced. In Egypt, it was 210 years. Golus Bavel was 70 years. This Golus now is over 2,000 years. And the Torah describes it as Hastora Shebetoy Hastora, that this is the thickest darkness. If you think in Egypt, the plague of Choshech, if you think that was dark, that's July 4th. Compared to what we're going through now, the darkness we're going through now, with our halogen lights and with our incandescent lights, the spiritual darkness that the Jewish nation is experiencing and that the world is experiencing is a darkness like we've never known before. And the solution, the way to be able to survive and succeed in this darkness, is following the advice of Rabbeinu Zal, being able to always be able to look in ourselves and look in our families and look in our people around us and to see the good and be able to focus on the good and to know that even if it looks like it's much less than the bad, doesn't matter. A little bit of good can far outshine and far outrun 100,000 times as much bad. That's within ourselves and then also in our circumstances. There's another chapter in Likut Imran where Rabbeinu Zal bases it on the pasuk in Tehillim, Batzor Herchaftoli. The word tzor in Hebrew, tzadik resh, means tight, a tight spot, a constriction. I'm imprisoned, I'm locked up. Hashem, Batzor, when I'm tzor, when I'm locked up, Herchaftoli, you have widened things for me. You've opened things up for me. And Rabbeinu Zal says, whatever situation a person is in, no matter how bad, no matter how terrible it is, a person has to search and be able to find the good in it. That it could be worse. There's worse. There's much worse. And by being able to do that, being able to show that to myself and focus on that, to know could be worse, not that bad, not all bad. These are life-saving rafts that a person can hold on to pull themselves out of negativity, out of darkness, out of hopelessness, and to turn around the situation to optimism and to actually to become happy, to be able to pull myself to a place of simcha so that I can have yishuv hadas, so that I can think clearly and not be misled and befuddled and confused all the time, not knowing what the right thing, what's right and wrong, not being able to make the right choices and the right decisions to live a truly fulfilling life, to live a life where the person will be able to say, realize at the end that I was zeicha, I did the right thing. And now Rabbeinu Zal adds another point here, that even if a person looks inside of themselves and they can't come up, they can't think of even one good thing that they've done, Val kol panim, no matter what, yesh loy lismoyach b'ma shezocho lihiyos mizera Yisrael, a person can rejoice, can be happy with the fact that I was created a Jew. I'm a Jew. I could chas shalom be a non-Jew. That either I wasn't created a non-Jew, or even those non-Jews who are zecha to become Jewish. Baruch Hashem, I'm Jewish. As we say in Uvolat Tzion every day, Baruch Elokeinu Shebranu Lechvoidoi. Blessed is Hashem, I bless Hashem, who created me for His honor. V'hivdilonu min hatoyim, and He separated us from those who are off the right path. V'nosan lonu Torah semes, and He gave us the Torah of truth, the book of truth. Mikol ze v'kiyotze bozeh, Roy loy likach loy simcha lesameach daito kanal. From this, from all of this, and similar thoughts to this, a person can be able to draw happiness and to bring themselves to a happy frame of mind. Vezeh bechinas, and this is what the Gemara says over there in Shabbos, page 87, where the Gemara says that Rabbi Zeira saw Rabbi Huda, and he saw that Rabbi Huda was bedicha daite. He was in a happy frame of mind. Shehu dovor godol. This is something very, very big. Dahainu shemekasher hasimcha lemoichoi vedaitoi, where a person is able to take their intellect and not just function with intellect, but to connect, to add the most important ingredient, to add the flour. You have water. We know that water is compared to das, seichel, meimei hadas. But you can have a gallon of water and you can have an ocean of water and you can't bake bread yet. You can't make cake out of it. You need flour and water. And the flour is this simcha here, to attach simcha to the brain. Va'azai hamoyach mishuchror. Then you're removing the chains, the bars that are not allowing the brain to do what it needs to do. Ve'yeshloi yishuv hadas kanal. And then the person can have yishuv hadas, can really think clearly and honestly and come to a true realization about themselves, about their life, and be able to really start improving their life in all the ways that they possibly can. V'gam lemala, and Rabbeinu Zal adds, in addition, up in heaven, nase mizeh yichud godol. When a Jew makes this connection between simcha and moyach, this generates an incredible unification up in heaven. Al yidei bedicha daite, through this happy frame of mind, this combination of simcha and moyach and chachma. This is actually one way of looking at this, is the connection between Chachma and Bina. Because we said earlier that Simcha, the place that's associated with Simcha, is the heart. Nosato Simcha Belibi. Oyer Zarua Latzadik Ule Yishrei Leiv Simcha. There are many psukim that connect that. There are people who are very smart intellectually, very smart, intelligent, and everything. And some of them end up committing suicide or murdering 6 million people with all of their intellect, or more, 20 million people with their intellect. Because the intellect alone, as we're going to see shortly, we're going to have a chapter in Likud Imran, chapter 12, where Rabbeinu Zal begins, that if a person follows their own intellect, they can fall into tremendous mistakes and cause incredible destruction. It's only when the intellect is combined with heart, when it's not heartless, but rather it has a heart to it. And what kind of heart? A heart that has the divine spirit of Hashem in it, which is simcha. The Arizal says that the words lev simcha are begematria shechina, the divine spirit of Hashem. When a person connects that to the brain, then a person has yishuv hadas, and then the person will live true life, what's really living. Any questions, please? Not by coincidence at all, again, by design. The next chapter on Likut Imran speaks about speaking to Hashem in the fields, going out into the fields to speak to Hashem, to pray to Hashem. Torah Yud Aleph will start. Rabbeinu Zal begins, Da, you should know. Kishe ha'odom. Yes, please.
I really appreciate you said about all the lights in the world, times of great darkness. You know, no matter what our situation is, we have to find good in it, no matter how crazy it is. I shared with you my personal story before, and it only went crazier since then, because situation where I lost so much money in China and an electric bike stock scam, and then I won a court judgment for a lot of money, can't get paid. So I just wanted to say, maybe it's not so much a question, but I really appreciated that, because I do feel like I'm starting to lose it. Like, what? How did I lose all my money? How did I get this worthless court judgment? How is it that Hunter Biden got paid all this money and I can't get paid on my court judgment? And the world feels to me upside down. And I'm trying to find the meaning. Shem wanted me to be able to walk down the street and tell somebody, hey, look on your phone, and you Google my name and Hunter Biden. And they're like, that's you? Defrauded shareholder in Jerusalem? that's me, the defrauded shareholder in Jerusalem, feel like, Rabbi, I'm in a Hasidic story. And at the end, it's going to have a happy ending, but I don't know what that is going to be right now. You know, I'm hoping that if I continue to write to White House the way I've been writing to the previous president, one day they're going to look and say, okay, here's the little, you know, guy, he's holding on to a court judgment. It's true. Why is he not getting paid on his court judgment? And anyway, that's just my story, but any thoughts you have, I would greatly appreciate it.
The answer is it's possible that that's the way the story is going to end. Every one of us has a story. There's a pasuk, Zeh Sefer Toldei Sa'adam. This is the book of the life of man. And we're told that every single person has a story. And every single one of us goes through a journey and ups and downs. And there are times that we lose major, major things in our lives. And sometimes what seems as a loss can really be a big gain. There are many people who only because they experienced a major financial loss or some other kind of loss, that awakened their soul, that awakened their mind to think about what life is really about, and that brought them closer to Hashem, closer to really achieving fulfillment. We know that there are many very wealthy people with a lot of money that are not fulfilled, that are not fulfilled at all. The money doesn't provide fulfillment, you know, and there are people who could have less. Money can be used in a very positive way and can bring joy, can bring good things to people when it's used properly and when it's in the proper perspective, when we look at it correctly. But in terms of knowing what life is about, I mentioned not long ago in a shiur that one of my closest friends was once driving through a cemetery. He was going to visit his parents' graves who are buried in the cemetery. And as he was driving slowly, he noticed a stone there, a tombstone, and he saw the name on it. And it was the name of one of the wealthiest people in his community, a person who owned a lot of real estate in Manhattan, worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And he hit the brake on the car and he looked at the stone and he said, "This is the buildings? This is it?" And there's a story with Rav Nosson Zal, the closest student to Rabbi Nachman, that as a child, he used to sit near his grandfather in shul, where the older people sat. And one day, one of the older men stopped coming. And Rav Nosson Zal asked his grandfather, "How come he's not coming to shul anymore?" So his grandfather said, "He died." So Rav Nosson Zal said, "What does that mean? What is died?" So he said, when a person reaches a certain age, a certain point in their life, and their life is finished in this world, they take them to a place and they dig a hole and they put the person in there and they cover up the hole. And Rav Nosson Zal writes that as a child at that time, he started thinking, that's life? That's how it ends? That's how everything comes to an end? What's it for then? What do we need it for? Why do I have to eat breakfast, lunch, and supper? Why do I have to work? Why do I have to wear clothes? If in the end they're just going to dig a hole and put me in the ground. And he never stopped thinking about that question. He never stopped thinking, what is the purpose of life? There's got to be more to this. This whole world didn't come in, wasn't created just so that people will eat and sleep and work and go into the grave. There's got to be more to it. And sure enough, he searched in the Torah and he searched tzaddikim until he found the tzaddik who opened his eyes and really clarified to him what our mission in life is. That our real mission is coming close to Hashem, and the way that we achieve that is through Torah and prayer and tzaddikim, coming close to tzaddikim. We can't expound more right now on this, but everything we're learning here is really all about this, all about realizing our true purpose in life and the ups and downs, whatever we go through in life. The person who has the right attitude and faith in Hashem and faith in themselves and faith in the Torah, the end will definitely be a good end, a happy ending. We should be zeich to get to that happy ending very soon, each and every individual one of us and all of Klal Yisrael, together with the whole world, should be zeich to come to the happy ending with the coming of Moshiach, the building of the third and final Beis HaMikdosh, b'mehera b'yameinu, amen v'amen.